Good evening, everyone. My name is Courtney Gallagher. I'm with Morris and Ritchie Associates. We're the civil engineering firm working with Marley Neck South LC, who's developing the subject property. I'm joined this evening by Jim Kraft, who is with Marley Neck South LC and Elm Street Development. Tonight we are here specifically to discuss the Marley Neck South property. I'll go through a brief presentation and then we'll have a question and answer session at the end. This meeting is required per Anne Arundel County Code 17-2-107 that states that a community meeting is required to be held within the 6 months prior to the initial submission of a sketch plan or a preliminary plan. And it is the developer's intention to submit a sketch plan within the next few months. The purpose of this meeting is to present information about the project, specifically stormwater management and any required modification requests for the project, and to allow the community opportunity to ask questions and make comments on the proposal. I'll start by reviewing some of the existing conditions on the property. The subject property is here, outlined in black on this plan. It is adjacent to Marley Neck Boulevard here, approximately 1,200 linear feet south of the Tanyan Springs Lane. The property is known as Parcel 28, and it's shown on Tax Map 10, and it is comprised of approximately 18.89 acres. The property is privately owned, and it will be privately developed by Marley Neck South LC. The property is zoned, three different zones actually, OS, a small portion of OS zoning here, R10, and the majority of the site is zoned R5. R5 and R10 are both residential zones, and OS is an open space zone. Approximately 9.63 acres of the property are within the critical area. The critical area line is here. This portion of the site is within the critical area. This portion of the site is outside of the critical area. Within the critical area, the site has is within two of the designations. The LDA, which is the limited development area here, is approximately 5 acres. And the resource conservation area, which is about 4.63 acres here at the north end of the site. There is a stream channel that is on the northern part of the property here that projects a 100-foot stream buffer. There's also a stream channel that is off the east side of the site, the tail of which comes back onto the property here that also has a stream buffer that projects onto the site. There is an area of wetlands associated with that stream on the north portion of the property and a isolated wetland area here near Marley Neck Boulevard. Both of these wetland areas have 25-foot wetland buffers. There's also a floodplain that begins off-site and covers portion of the northern part of the property here. There are also steep slopes within this area. That's the light and darker gray are areas of 15 and 25% slopes. There are no highly erodible soils within the property, and there's record of historic sites in the vicinity of the property, but no historic resources have been identified on the subject property at this time. The site is predominantly wooded. Everywhere except this little corner here is wooded, and there are five specimen trees that have been identified on the property. There are two specimen trees here in the north, and then three specimen trees along the southern edge of the property. The property is located within the Marley Neck Green Infrastructure Network. There are no rare, threatened, or endangered species that have been identified on the property, and there are no bogs on or in the vicinity of the property. And these features have been field verified. In addition, being within the critical area, there is a expanded critical area buffer that encompasses some of the features that I mentioned. retention here along the northern part of the property. So that concludes the existing conditions. I'll move on to the proposed development. The site is proposed to be developed with between 81 and 85 townhouse units. These townhomes will be on these simple individual lots. The roads within the project will be 24 feet wide and will be located within access easements or rights of way that will range in width between 26 feet and 40 feet. Access to the development will be provided from a single location here on Marlin Neck Boulevard, and the access road will create a loop throughout the community.
Are we going to connect to any of the, like where the apartment homes are or anything else?
The roads are not currently proposed to connect to any of the existing developments off site. Townhomes within the property are proposed or required to have 2.5 parking spaces per house. So the total required parking would be between 203 and 213 spaces, depending on the density. Each townhouse will have a 2-car garage and a full depth driveway, and will therefore exceed the 2.5 spaces required per unit. So the total anticipated parking is at least 203 to 213 parking spaces. Sidewalks are proposed along the roads and to provide connectivity within the development and to Marlin Neck Boulevard as well. The open space requirement for the project is 5.67 acres, which is equal to 30% of the total project site. And the plan you see in front of you now has over 13 acres of open space, most of which is located along the northern part of the property. The active recreation requirement for this development is 500 square feet per townhouse unit. And at that requirement, the total project requirement would be between 0.93 acres and 0.98 acres. This plan shows a total of 0.018 acres of active recreation area, which would be provided here. Developers intend to program this space with amenities in lieu of simply reserving land for future improvements by the Homeowners Association. Development has been focused towards the southern end of the property, away from the environmentally sensitive areas in the north. This development will require clearing of some of the existing woods on site. But again, that's been limited to the southern portion. This plan exceeds the conservation threshold required under the forest conservation regulations. Jim alluded to this before the meeting, but there will be areas of forest retention along the southern, eastern, and northern portions of the property. And those will both all be a minimum of 35 to 50 feet wide. Because of where the development has been located, none of the environmentally sensitive features in the north, the streams, the wetlands, or the floodplain or steep slopes will be impacted by the proposed development. Up to three of the specimen trees on site may be removed to allow for the proposed development, and two here at the north will be retained. The proposed limits of disturbance for this project are approximately 8.08 acres. Stormwater management for the project has been designed in accordance with Anne Arundel County's stormwater management requirements, which include environmental site design to the maximum extent practicable. Stormwater management concept includes small micro practices, including microbial retention facilities and bioswales. They're located throughout the site here, which will capture runoff from the houses and the streets. These practices are small features, very similar to rain gardens, that will capture runoff from small drainage areas around a half acre to an acre.
So there's no plans to upgrade the current bio
this
water
pond
retention?
Yeah. No, no, that's not part of this project area, so no, there's no intention now to make any upgrades or improvements to that stormwater pond. All of the stormwater for this project will be addressed on this site. These stormwater facilities are designed to hold water for no more than 24 hours, and any water that flows into them will drain into the filter media within the stormwater facility and then infiltrate into the ground below, beneath. Any water that does not infiltrate into the ground will be collected in a storm drain system that will ultimately outfall near the floodplain here to the north of the site. Based on initial stormwater management calculations, peak management is not required for this project. School-age children within the development will attend Northeast High School, Northeast Middle School, and Sully Elementary School. At this time, all three schools are open for enrollment. The project will require a few modification requests that will be submitted to Anne Arundel County for consideration. Those modifications include forest clearing to allow us to clear the forest within the southern part of the site where the proposed development is located. A modification will be required to remove any of the specimen trees on site, again, which is anticipated predominantly along the southern edge of the site here. A modification will be required to allow reduced active recreation land area based on providing amenities in lieu of just reserving land area. And a modification may be required for alternative road design for these private roads, which is in keeping with comparable townhouse projects within the county for private roads. All the roads within the project will be private. Those deviations from the public road standards may include right-of-way width, pavement width, the location of sidewalks and planting strips relative to the road edge, horizontal curve radii, and spacing between driveways and intersections. The only other piece that I have not talked about is utilities. The project will be served by public water and sewer, which is currently proposed to be extended from existing service mains in Marlin Neck Boulevard that will be brought into the site. So at this point, I'm going to turn it over to Jim, see if he'd like to add anything. And then I'll go over sort of the general development process and the rest of the community meeting process for you.
I think you've covered most everything in detail, but the general takeaway is that on a site this size, given some of the features, we're really developing only about 40% of the site, mm-hmm. So 60% of it staying in open space and being preserved. A lot of that has to do with the environmental features and the critical area overlay and such. So. Really try to focus the development in a concentrated area, but also ensure that around the perimeter of the property, we're making sure there's a substantial tree buffer left around to buffer from adjacent properties. So, and that was sort of the design intent, and Courtney went over that, obviously all the particulars in detail. But I think if you want to talk a little bit more about timing so folks can know what to expect down the road, that'd be great.
How would the townhomes look? Will it match the rest of the communities, or you are planning to have a different focus on how you want them to look or make them stand out?
They will be in line with what's in that general vicinity. Mm-hmm. So, as a developer, we're not physically building townhomes. Mm-hmm. We're proceeding with the development plans, getting the approvals and such, and when we get to final approvals, we'll likely partner with a builder. Likely one of the national regional builders that have been active in this corridor, whether, example could be a Ryan Homes or a Lennar or someone like that. Mm-hmm. And they typically build comparable product. The architecture, what that would look like at this stage is a little early, but I can tell you that safely it would be in keeping with what's in the general area.
So just a quick overview, sort of where we are and what the overall process is for review of a project like this. So this is a pre-submittal community meeting. So nothing has been submitted at this point to the county. The developer has 6 months from today's meeting, within which time they would need to submit a sketch plan, or they'd have to hold another community meeting. Mm-hmm. So the sketch plan is the first phase of a three-step review process in the county, and it's basically a stormwater management concept plan, and some of your some of the initial zoning requirements are reviewed and assessed at sketch plan. Once the sketch plan has been approved, the developer may proceed to the final plan process, which includes more detailed engineering plans, and in this case, it'll include a subdivision plat. After that plan has been submitted, there will be a post-community meeting that will be required by the county, and that has to be held within 45 days after submittal of that final plan. The last step in the process is the grading permit review, which upon approval would allow the developer to actually begin construction on the site. So more specifically, where we are with today's meeting, this pre-submittal community meeting is being recorded, as I mentioned before the meeting. This recording will be submitted to Anne Arundel County tomorrow to be included on their community meeting website. Once it is uploaded by the county, a 14-day comment period will begin, at which point anyone can submit email comments or questions regarding this project. That 14-day comment period, once it closes, the development team will have an additional 14 days to prepare meeting minutes of tonight's meeting, as well as any comments or questions that we receive during that 14-day period. And then we'll send out meeting minutes to anyone who signed up for tonight's meeting, anyone who received the initial notice about tonight's meeting, and then anyone at the county that we're required to notify. Any comments can be sent to this email address, communitycomments@aacounty.org. If you didn't get that, you can also Google online Anne Arundel County Community Meetings, and it'll take you right to their website. And this, again, is the Marley Nick South project. So, and then once the meeting minutes have been sent out, at that point the developer is free to submit that sketch plan, that initial sketch plan. So at this point I'd like to turn it or open it up for any questions or comments from our audience.
I could just add one more piece to what you're saying. From a timing perspective, Courtney did a great job of outlining the steps, but typically that three-step process on average takes 3 years, maybe longer. So we're at the very beginning of this process. It's happened a little quicker in the past, but it's also taken longer. But that's about average. So that's just the approvals. And once you get the approvals, then you might see some activity on the site itself. So I would say, on average, from where we are today, we're probably every bit of 3.5 years from when you might see some activity on the site if everything goes as planned with the approval process and the permits.
How long does it take you all to get through the development step, to get rid of the trees, leveling the site?
That's what I was referring to. So it would take us about, again, just to give you a ballpark, roughly 3.5 years from where we are today, where you might see some equipment on the site mobilizing and commence site work. And then a site this size to actually do the site work, you're looking at 6 to 8 months worth of site work on the site, and then you might expect some vertical construction, some road.
And as far as, have you all done studies with regards or engineering already with regards to the stormwater management, so you know for sure that it won't affect any of the other properties that's to the south and west of it, or south and east of it?
Yeah, so, short answer is yes. And as Courtney mentioned, there's a stream channel on the north side of the property. This property is going to have probably two outfall points where if you get one of those really gully washer type storms, the site's designed to manage all the stormwater on site. But if and when it overflows, it doesn't go east to this property, it doesn't go west across the street, and it doesn't go south. It's got an outfall point to this low point in this general stream channel. But that's all managed through the site, so it doesn't affect any adjacent properties. This is Anne Arundel County floodplain.
That doesn't, because do the normal property as it stands right now, does everybody else's property, is that the outflow for everybody else, or is it that we're using our own from?
Well, I can't speak to the details of your property, but Tanyard Springs has that large pond here that you mentioned earlier.
Yeah, about 4 or 5 of them.
So this certainly manages some large section of that community, and that pond drains out to the same stream.
I was just, I guess the reason that I asked the question was I was trying to make sure that, not make sure, but understand that the engineering that has gone into making sure that it flows to that low here, compacts everybody into that, because all of our water will be flowing into that low area. And I don't want to see, like, you know, turn it on to Tanyard Springs.
Yeah, I'm not a stormwater management designer, but the county code, the stormwater management design requirements are such that we can't increase water leaving our site from its current condition. So even though it's wooded today, we have to design the on-site facilities in a manner that it mimics the existing conditions. So it's not just like turning on a big spigot when it rains. It's managing all that within the confines of the community and ensuring that it doesn't go over that peak water flow.
And the county does require that we look not just at what drainage is coming from the site and the proposed development, but basically all, well, not all upstream, but there is a certain range of upstream properties that we also have to assess and understand how this drainage contributes to the overall drainage system.
Okay. That's a long time. That's a lot of work. And what you cite, man, or you
so I'm a landscape architect and an associate with working with Oak.
My firm's a land development, real estate development company called Elm Street, right out of McLean, Virginia. We've been developing in Anne Arundel County for about 40 years. I've been doing it about 20, and we've developed several subdivisions and communities in this corridor. So we would be managing the process and we engage folks like MRA and Courtney's team to help us through the complex planning process.
You had mentioned when you were speaking critical area. I don't know what that's.
So the critical area, that's a very good question. It's actually the Chesapeake Bay critical area. It is a tidal waters that contribute to the Chesapeake Bay. Additional requirements and restrictions to those tidal waters that have been identified really by the state, so that it limits development in specific ways to help protect that resource.
Generally within, it's generally about 1,000 feet from mean water on the shoreline.
So that the areas that you had pointed out, that some portions of that entire 18-acre site are critical areas, but some are not.
Correct.
That's correct. Yeah. Yes. So this property, the sort of, this is of the property, a portion of the property falls within 1,000 feet from tidal waters to the Chesapeake Bay, and that line is drawn here are critical area, and there are additional development restrictions that are placed on those properties because of that.
So if the properties on the west side of Marley Neck are primarily in the critical area. So what happens is that line, because a shoreline is not consistently shaped, it crosses over Marley Neck Boulevard in a couple locations and it clips the corner of this property. So we designed the site to stay out of the critical areas as much as possible.
Do you have any restoration on the?
So there are some planting requirements for the areas. There are clearing restrictions within the critical area, and there are additional planting requirements within that critical area. But otherwise,
Not no storm restoration. I mean, what do you call it? Stream restoration.
Wetland restoration.
Yeah. None of that.
No.
Okay.
No.
Right around this property, because I've lived here for many years now in Tanyard. abandoned building. Is that going to disappear?
It's right here. It's off the property, actually, so we don't control that property. It's separately owned by someone else.
Okay.
But yeah.
That was one of my questions as well, because I was like, it looked like they just left them.
No, we didn't.
I thought this was finally going to get rid of that building.
In all transparency, I did reach out to that property owner and let them know that we were planning this development. And obviously, anyone within 300 feet of the boundary of our site got a letter. So we're not, it's not a secret that we're doing it. But I think they have other plans for the property, and they were not interested in working.
Well, perhaps I'm wrong. I shouldn't have used the word abandoned. It just appears idle.
Yeah, I think, I don't want to speak for the property owner, but it looks like it was maybe used for some commercial purpose several years ago, and it's been idle for a while. So it's now looking pretty overgrown and almost abandoned. But from my understanding, it's not being actively used for anything.
And as far as the stormwater, I remember it was a while ago. Immediately across the road, Marlinek Boulevard from there, is a cemetery, which I was told is because I got familiar with the people in this church right over here, which is right down, right on Solly Road, right over here. And that church used to be located over in Marlinek, but then this is a new building. I mean, the building's 50, 60 years old. They moved it over here to Solly Road. It used to be over on Marlinek. And that cemetery belongs to that congregation, or those who are interred there are part of that congregation. And just south of that cemetery, there was road work or stormwater work that was done. You can see that from Marlinek Boulevard, where they put in a huge, they did a lot of work back there to mitigate the storm.
Yeah, I think, I'm speaking just from general context purposes. I don't know for sure.
I think the county did that.
Yeah, so I think the Canyon Springs being developed, it contributed to some runoff in the stream, and I think the culvert underneath that road, to your point, needed to be upsized, and there was some erosion on the other side of the road from the culvert, between the culvert and like the water's edge, that needed to be replaced. So I think there was some upgrade work that was done there. I believe you're right.
And I'm not familiar with how this whole process works. Is this where does something like this originate? Is it that somebody just says, gee, that looks like a good spot to put 81 townhouses. How does this start?
I can speak to that, but it's so I'm in the business of providing housing in Anne Arundel County. So there's two sources really for housing. One is existing uses that could be repurposed or redeveloped into some form of housing. Anything from single family homes to townhomes to apartments, condos. Or there's land that has not been developed yet. And that type of land is in a couple different forms. One is partially wooded, some historically were old farms, and everything in between. But Anne Arundel County is a mature county. It's got a lot of residents and a lot of people want to be here. So what's left are parcels that have kind of funky shapes and maybe some environmental features and what we typically call infill development, which is what it sounds like. You're finding pockets where mature development has occurred, and there's opportunity to fill in some gaps with new housing for other residents. So my job is to be familiar with and investigate and understand the county where there's opportunity to provide new housing. I mean, really what drives the value or the interest in the site is its underlying zoning. So the county zones all the land every 9 years, and they zone it based on the growth strategy and plan for the county. So county planners every 9 years say, here's how many folks live in the county, here's what we expect from a growth perspective in terms of population growth, and we need to modify and adjust our zoning provisions accordingly. So that's what steers and guides what can and can't be developed and how it can be developed in the future. So it's not quite as simple as that corner looks nice. We should put some houses there. I mean, I wish it was, but it's not. So it's really a process of elimination. It's
what's available for development or redevelopment, and does the zoning allow it? And that's, those are really the two starting points when you're looking at places to develop.
So when a developer, typically such as your firm, is interested in building, and a property such as this is advertised, or your firm just looks up in the
I can't get into the confidential nature of how we do our business, right? That's like giving you the ingredients to Coca-Cola. But, you know, there's really a couple sources. Sometimes people put a for sale sign, or it's marketed like a single family home would be on the MLS. That's extremely rare. More often than not, it requires door knocking, knowing people, just kind of scrapping and researching. So, and then other times it's relationships, whether it be with a planning firm or a land use attorney or another landholder, word of mouth sort of thing. It's a variety of sources.
So from here, there's still a lot of steps to go through, a lot of approvals.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, much like...
Through the county, et cetera.
Yeah, much like a Tanyard Springs or a Tanyard Cove or Creekside. I mean, those were massive PUDs, right? Thousands of units. This is an 84-lot subdivision today. Unfortunately, it goes through the same process. It's a three-step process, and it typically takes about 3 years to get through it. It's not really driven by the size. It's really driven by the law and how the code works in terms of submitting our applications, the review cycles, staff availability, things of that nature.
Can either of you speak to what's the likelihood of this? What's your guess? I wouldn't imagine you would have put all this effort into it so far if you didn't think you had a good chance of...
I mean, I can't guarantee that the subdivision will be built exactly like that. But I can say with some degree of certainty, and having experience doing business in this county, that this is a good site. We've planned it well. It's been planned conservatively. We meet the bulk of the requirements. I don't see any real major issues that would preclude it from moving ahead. Now, to Courtney's point, there's other steps in the process where we have community meetings again. So it's not like you see it at the very beginning and you don't know what it looks like when it pops out at the end, right? So there's a the final plan stage, which is the second step, is where really the detailed engineering happens. Like, a lot of this is more site plan related, confining and determining your development footprint. The detailed engineering is where a lot of the legwork goes in. So when we have our next meeting, that will be after that detailed plan or final plan goes in, and that will be more certain in terms of the layout and configuration than this. So
that was actually my question. Would that be the final design? Like, or would it change over the course of...
It'll change. Now, will it change from an apple to an orange? Probably not. But will some of the road networks maybe move around, or some of the units change, or the shapes might change, or the unit counts may change? Those types of things happen for two reasons. One is you get through the review process and the county has input and feedback. You need to address those comments, and that sometimes results in site plan changes. And we're also doing our best guess to determine what the market will accept in terms of housing product at the end. So if there's a change in market activity and a 24-foot wide townhouse isn't as desirable, we might change it for a 22-foot. So like, the size of the boxes may change, things like that.
So looking now at like what I was mentioning when I got here about as far as the capacity and the traffic on Marley Neck Boulevard, mm-hmm. That's something that needs to be considered as far as the traffic that it's already carrying, and beyond when you go up there, the northern part there, there's even more houses going in. Again, Tanyard Cove is continuing to expand, and this.
Yeah, to answer your question, in the first step, I keep going back to this three-step process, but it's set up that way for a reason. In your first step, the county requires, and developer, you have the option to, and we always do, you test for what's called adequate public facilities, which means the bare minimum requirements that mean your development can be accommodated by public need in the area, right? So Courtney mentioned schools for one. So one, you have to test to see if the schools are adequate capacity to serve the number of homes you're providing. If you don't have adequate capacity, you can't build your project. Or you could change it to 55 plus, where you have no impact on the schools, right? You have to test for traffic. So traffic is an adequate public facility that the county has a very robust and detailed process for testing. You have to complete what's called a traffic impact study, which looks not only at the condition of the roads adjacent and in front of the site, but it studies intersections within a certain radius based on numbers of trips that your site will generate within the general vicinity of property. And if any of those intersections aren't functioning correctly, or the condition of the road network is not sufficient, then you don't meet traffic adequate public facilities. So if you don't meet, then you might need to widen a road or clear some brush or resurface a road. And when you have a large subdivision, you might have to put in a traffic signal, right? So there's a whole process for measuring those things. It's all prescribed by the county through code and law. So we would hire a traffic and engineer. We already have. They're preparing their study. And that would be a component of our application. So it's schools, roads, really fire suppression to make sure that the police and fire have adequate capacity to manage your project, including water pressure. So if fire hydrants have adequate pressure, if the fire department comes in, needs to hook up and put a fire out. And then really last is storm drain or stormwater management, which is what we talked about a little bit before, about having to make sure that we're not contributing more to the outfall from a runoff perspective than what's there today. So those are the biggies, and that's what we design and test for up front. Because if you don't pass those, you can't build your site.
You had mentioned earlier about the notices that go out. This was part of another issue that's now going in adjacent to our community, that the developers of that, the sports park that's going in over here, at the corner of Heritage Crossing and Tangent Springs Lane, that they explained that they contacted only the homeowners whose, and that land is now owned by the county. The county bought it. Supposed to be a grocery store, the county bought it. That according to county code or guidelines, they are only required to notify property owners whose property is, I believe, it was something like 100 feet or so from the property. So a lot of the people for that project were not notified. Our HOA did let us know. Could you all, as well as keep our HOA in the loop, please?
Yeah, so two-part answer to your question. Short answer is yes. By law, we have to, and even if it wasn't law, we would, right? Because you're a neighboring property. We like to let our neighboring property owners know what's going on. So for subdivision, which is different than a county project, a capital improvement project, or a rec and parks project, which I believe that would fall under, that's not a development application. Development applications require that every property owner within a 300-foot radius of the boundary of this property will get a letter. In addition, if that 300-foot radius touches a common space by an HOA, not only will every resident get a letter, but the HOA itself will also get a letter. In addition to that, the local county council person, so in this would be District is it 1 or 5? It's District 1, so this is Councilman Volke's district, he gets a letter, his representative gets a letter, as well as folks, county staff get letters as well. So when you sign in, as Courtney was mentioning earlier, that ensures that your names go in the record, so you will definitely be getting letters, whether or not you were in 300 feet. So you could have told a friend that was 500 feet away and they came to the meeting. Once they're signed in, they would be notified going forward. But if you don't sign in, if you're within 300 feet or your HOA is, you're going to be continued to be informed through the process, and you'll also be notified of our second meeting, which would be at final plan.
Because that's how I found out about this meeting. I found out about all through our HOA.
Yeah.
For real, because I didn't find out that it was, that's why I thought it was weird.
Don't you get emails from them?
I think my wife got it. I got your letter, and I was thinking it through in my head, and was like, oh, that's right behind,
yeah.
That's right behind our property. So
yeah.
That's why I don't see.
Yeah, because I was talking to somebody, and I said, hey, I looked at that little tiny map. That was in the email. It said something about Timbercroft and the name of the road that was right around there. And that immediately got his attention. That's one of the names of the little roads that go through our development. But I wouldn't get any of these notifications.
It's funny because I didn't get the notification for the property. It's always
I don't either. And the county people explained at the meeting that we had a year and a half ago that they're only required to give written notice to people whose property is within, even though it's going to affect us, that other project, not this one, well, this one will too, but they said county code said we're only required to send written letters to people if their property is within so many feet of it. But it's going to affect me because that's our community property, which is right up against that.
Sure.
So we're looking at maybe if things go three and a half years before anything.
Mm-hmm. Why don't we wrap up the technical community meeting, and then if you folks want to hang around and look at the plan or ask questions, we're happy just to chat a little bit.
Yeah, so it is 6:41, and I'm going to officially adjourn this meeting. Thank you all for attending. Have a great
night. Thank you.
Wish you luck with that.